Glory to God.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it is time for us to open our Bibles. Ah, there's the green light. Praise God. We are going to be turning our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 51 to begin with. And I'm putting a title on this message today. We're calling this message, The Coming Day of God. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51 to begin with. And before I read even one verse this morning, we're going to pray. Let's do that right now. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for this blessed book. We thank thee for thy holy scriptures, and we thank thee for this opportunity to look upon thy word. We pray, Lord, that as we look upon thy scriptures, that we would be inspired by thy word, O God, inspired to draw near to thee, inspired to reach out to thee in faith, Lord, knowing full well that thou art truly our only hope, Lord. We pray, O God, that thou would anoint our minds and our hearts and our souls, Lord, to receive thy scriptures today, and we pray, Lord, that thou would anoint each and every one of us with the spirit of discernment and understanding. Let thy Holy Ghost be upon all thy people here this day and upon all those who are listening online. We pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here this morning, but we bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would dare come against us, knowing full well that thou art sovereign and that there is no name greater than the almighty name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, it was an interesting week for the United States. As everyone probably knows, we had an election, didn't we? And for a lot of people, it didn't turn out the way you were hoping. A lot of people are depressed and they're distraught. And they're wondering, well, they're saying now Joe Biden is going to be our president. What are we going to do now? Well, I'll tell you what we should do. The same thing we were doing before. We should follow the instruction list we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24, which tell us, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. At everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. You know, a lot of people are upset. It's saying, well, this election was rigged, and, you know, maybe it was. There are some suspicious things about it. For example, it's interesting because Bernie Sanders, before the election ever took place, this was back in October, he got on one of those late night shows. I think maybe it was Jimmy Fallon, but he explained in depth exactly everything that was going to happen with his election. And you know what? It did. Exactly as he explained it. Now, that's pretty odd, isn't it? It's almost as if he was revealing what they were planning to do. Now, I mean, I know there's a lot of allegations of widespread fraud, and I personally don't have evidence of that. And if Trump does have evidence of that, he should go ahead and release it. But, you know, I don't know if he does either. I know that he's very reluctant to leave that White House, and we will see what happens in all this. But can you imagine what would happen now in this country if somehow they did find the evidence that it was rigged and that Trump was really the rightful winner? Can you imagine what would happen now? There really would be rioting in the streets in every city in America. There would probably be a civil war if they did that. But I don't think that's going to happen because there are people in high places who want Joe Biden to be the president. Now, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not going to fret over that because we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And isn't that what I've been saying all along? No matter who the president is, Jesus Christ is still on the throne. He's still King, always will be. Aren't you glad that God isn't elected every 4 years? Praise the Lord. He always will be God, and there's nothing that anyone can do to change that. Now, I don't know everything that's going to happen in this country. People are worried that this could be the end of our country as we know it, and that's possible. But remember, that's up to the Lord to decide. These people who do these works of darkness can only do what God allows them to do. He has ways of stopping people. I'll give you an example of that. People might wonder, well, how about an example? That would be helpful. Well, I'll tell you what. In 1983, just before I would have been born, there was almost a nuclear war between the United States and Russia. Because Russia got a false alarm that nuclear weapons had been launched against them by the United States. Now, the man there was supposed to follow a specific procedure, which could have very well led to Russia retaliating against these phantom bombs. But he said he couldn't move. He couldn't do it. And there's no explanation for that other than the fact that the Lord prevented it. You see, that is what God can do. And you know what? If that hadn't happened, I never would have even been born, most likely. So you never know how the Lord might change things. He's able to do it. He is God. Now, we know that this country has had a lot of struggles. It's had a lot of hard times. And, of course, Donald Trump came along on the scenes, and people had been talking about the last days for a long time, especially when Obama was president. But when Trump came along, it's almost as if the evangelical Christians in America were given a false sense of security. They thought, well, now that Trump is going to be president, everything is going to be fine. He's going to make America great again. And, you know, when I heard all that, I just couldn't help but think, well, what do you think? The end of the world is off now? The end times have been canceled or delayed? Well, we know everything that happened, and it certainly wasn't a peaceful 4 years. There were certain folks who refused to let that happen. But, you know, now that Biden is going to be president, maybe some people will start to think, well, maybe we are getting close to the end. Especially with coronavirus going around and all these other problems, people are starting to wonder, and that's a good thing. It's something we should think about, something we should ponder, because the scriptures tell us that this world is not going to last forever.
That is right.
Amen. This planet has an expiration date. We don't know when that is. Nobody does. Don't ever let anyone tell you that they know when the world is going to end. Of course, Pat Robertson recently got up and said, he said, well, Trump is going to win the election. There's no question about that. Trump is definitely going to win. And then he said, the Earth is going to get hit by an asteroid in 5 or more years, and then maybe the end will come. Well, that's kind of a vague prophecy, but, you know, I think maybe he was trying to hedge his bets a little bit because in 1982, he said the world was going to end back then, and then he predicted it again for 2007. So, you know, whatever he says, take that with a grain of salt. But he appears to have been wrong about Trump anyway. And, you know, Trump, he went to that church in Las Vegas. He's been there 3 times from what I understand. And that female minister prophesied over him. And she said, the Lord told me that you are going to be president. Well, it's not looking good for him. Unless something drastically changes, that is what we would call a false prophecy. And let me tell you something. If someone has even one false prophecy, they are done. They are invalidated as prophets. That's why you have to be very careful if you get up and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, it was really something reading that prophecy she gave over Trump. She said, the Lord told me you're going to win the presidency, and that's not all. He's going to give you a second wind of the Holy Ghost. Well, I actually haven't seen any evidence that Trump has the Holy Ghost right now. But, and then she told him, you are the apple of God's eye. And you know what Trump said? He said, I love going to church. Well, of course, if that's what they're going to say to you. But, you know, it's looking very likely like that prophecy is not going to come true. And I tell you what, you don't get any second chances. At least you're not supposed to. If you're going to get up and proclaim yourself to be a prophet, you have to be right 100% of the time, Otherwise, you are a false prophet. And you know what? Genuine prophets of God are usually not well liked, because genuine prophets of God usually don't have good news to bring. Remember the story of Micaiah, the prophet? Jehoshaphat was wondering if he should go out to war, to get in league with Ahab and go up against the Assyrians, and he wanted to consult his prophets, and all of the prophets said, yes, go, you will be victorious. And Jehoshaphat, he asked, well, are there any more prophets? And of course, Ahab responded, well, there's one guy, but I hate him. Why? Because he never prophesies anything good. And that was the one genuine prophet, Micaiah. And sure enough, he prophesied doom if they endeavored to go up in battle. And we know that they did, and we know that it did not end well. See, genuine prophets usually don't have good news, especially when you read about them in the Bible. And that's why they were so often persecuted. They didn't kill Isaiah the prophet because he got up and said, well, everything is going to be great, and the kingdom of Israel is going to last forever. If he had done that, they would have loved the guy. But no, he told them that their days were numbered. And not just the Israelites, but in Isaiah 51, which we're about to look at right now, we're going to read a few verses in this chapter to begin with, he's going to tell us that indeed this entire world has an expiration date. Isaiah 51, verse 1 tells us, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Praise God, I love that verse. Because we look to the rock. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our rock. We sang about that earlier. He is the solid rock. Oh yes, we are fixed upon Him. And this verse also tells us, and look to the hole of the pit from whence ye are digged. In other words, he's saying, look where you came from. Look what you were brought out of. Verse 2, look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. And of course, we know that's quite a story, isn't it? How the Lord himself called to Abraham. He didn't have anyone come knock on his door. No one was there to share or minister to him, but God still called him by himself. And I know God loves to use people. It's very important to share the gospel. That's a wonderful thing to do. We should do it as much as we possibly can. But if there is someone that God wants to call and there's no one available for him to use to be a witness, he will call to that person himself. That is what he did for Abraham. You know, people sometimes complain and say, well, you know, there are places in the world where people have never heard the gospel. How is that fair if people never got a chance? Will the Lord really send them to hell? Well, just remember, God is capable of talking to anyone, and we know that he gathers his people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. Praise God. He knows how to reach people. He's not limited. He doesn't face geographical obstacles. He can reach down from heaven. He can talk to our very souls. He did that for Abraham, and I know he's done that for others too. So praise the Lord. Remember, God doesn't need us, we need him. Oh, it is a joy to be used by the Lord. It is an absolute joy to be used by God, but he does not need us. We need him. And he loves us like a father loves his children. In fact, we are his children. And you know, that's one of the things about a loving father. Sometimes a loving father will let his children help with whatever he's doing. Just because he loves his children and he wants them to be a part of what is happening. So, in that sense, it's not surprising that God likes to help his children work with him. But he doesn't need us. We need him. Praise God. Some people walk around like God needs them so desperately. Oh, what would God do without me? Oh, he'd be just fine. Always will be. Praise the Lord. Verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. And I just want to say right here, you know, people might read the book of Isaiah and see that word Zion there and think that only means the Israelite people. No, that means all of God's people. If you are a Christian, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ today, then you are a part of Zion. Praise God. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Amen. You know, that's a beautiful verse. And we know that the scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is our comforter. Yes, he will comfort his people. That's why we can get up in the morning and not be afraid just because they say Joe Biden's going to be president. You know, really, honestly, I'm not scared. Because I have a peace that passes all understanding. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm not afraid. And you shouldn't be either. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. Praise God. You know, God here is talking about all of these wonderful things that he's going to do, how he's going to comfort his people, how he's going to make a wilderness like Eden, and a desert like the garden of the Lord. And you know what? When we get back to heaven, I believe it is going to be a lot like Eden. Because when Eden was here on earth, that was a little piece of heaven. Unsoiled by sin. And when sin came into this world, access to Eden was revoked. Adam and Eve had to leave that wonderful place. It was paradise. But we can still attain paradise. You just have to remember, it's not here on this globe, which is now presently floating through space. In fact, as we continue on in this chapter for these first few verses, it's going to tell us that despite all of these wonderful things that God is going to do for his people, this planet, this world, has an expiration date. This planet is not going to survive. So we should take note, yes, he's talking about these wonderful things he's going to do. Now, if his planet isn't going to survive, which he's about to tell us, then he must be planning to do these wonderful things somewhere else, right? Amen. Verse 4, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. Praise God for that. His righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. Praise the Lord. That happened when Jesus Christ came to earth. Salvation went forth. He came for you, and he came for me. Praise the Lord. And for all that love is appearing. And mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me. And on mine arm shall they trust. You see, that's why we can have peace in our hearts. It doesn't matter who's president. We still trust in the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. Well, that sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? That sounds pretty sad. Heavens vanish away. The earth wax old like a garment. It's going to happen. The word of God is sure, which means this last part in this verse is also sure. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. You know what that means? It means his salvation. It means his righteousness outlasts this planet. Yes, this world will wax old like a garment. It is wearing out. It's in that process right now. And we see all of these things that are happening. And, of course, out in the world, the scientists always say, well, that's climate change. They always attribute everything to climate change. Of course, we had record-breaking hurricanes. There's still more hurricanes coming. And who knows how many we're going to have. They're well into the Greek alphabet now because they ran out of regular hurricane names. That was a while ago. And, you know, you have all those wildfires and everything else and these strange, powerful windstorms, tornadoes, too, all over the country, all these terrible things happening. And they all say, well, that's climate change. Well, the truth of it is the earth is waxing old like a garment, and there's nothing that they're going to do that's going to stop it or change it. I know that Biden says one of the first things he's going to do is rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, but that's not going to fix it. The earth is still going to wax old like a garment.
That's right. That is right.
Now, there's good news. Of course, we know that already. Yes, there's good news. Yes, this planet has an expiration date, but there is still good news because God has another destination for his people. Let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 right now. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Praise God. I'm glad we have this book, because we need these reminders. Isn't it a wonderful blessing that any day of the week you want, you can open your Bible and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3 and read this reminder? That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. Of course, we know we've had that for a long time, scoffers. And what do they do? Well, it tells us exactly what they do in this chapter. Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. People have such a hard time believing that the Lord is really coming back. But I don't know, maybe it's getting a little easier for some people to imagine it in their minds when you see everything that's happening. Nevertheless, you're always going to have those scoffers who say, where is the promise of his coming? Everything will just keep going and going and going. No, it won't. But you don't have to worry about that either. Praise God, because if you are a Christian, if you belong to the Lord, you have a wonderful future in store. Oh, you're going to be going to a place where there's no coronavirus.
Ah, praise the Lord.
And never will be.
That is right.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know, this world is reserved for fire. It's going to have a demolition day. But it's reserved, that fire is reserved for ungodly men and ungodly women. And if you belong to the Lord, that does not include you. Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And you know, it truly is amazing too. If you've ever flown on an airplane and you're up above, quite a distance, you know, thousands of feet in the air, maybe even 40,000 or more. And you're looking down. If it's not too cloudy, it's strange because you're actually flying above the clouds sometimes, or sometimes you're in the clouds. But you can look down at the world, and you might look at the interstate. And there are cars down there going 70, 80, 90 miles an hour, and it looks like they are crawling at a snail's pace because you're so much farther above them. Now you can imagine what it must be like for God, who is so much farther above all of us. In his heavenly home, he looks down on this earth, and in his sight we're all as if we're grasshoppers. But what's really truly amazing about that is he still loves us and still takes an interest in our lives. Nevertheless, we experience time, and it seems like it's going very quickly for us, doesn't it? But for God, 1,000 years is as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. That means in God's mind, the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth just about 2 days ago. That's not a long period of time in the mind of God. So people might wonder sometimes, where is the promise of his coming? We've been hearing all our lives that the Lord is coming back, and we've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Where is he? What is taking so long? Well, frankly, it hasn't been that long. But this chapter is also going to tell us why God has waited as long as he has. And you know what? It's good news. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. People might wonder sometimes, how can God be so patient? And it is remarkable, isn't it? He is long-suffering. He has given us far more time than we deserve. But he does that because there are still people who are going to repent. Praise the Lord. There are still people who are going to repent. That is what he is waiting for. The harvest is not done yet. When the harvest is completed, the Lord Jesus will return, not to reign on earth for 1,000 years in a millennial kingdom, but to judge the world with fire.
Amen. That is right. Amen.
He doesn't need a 1,000-year kingdom. His kingdom is eternal. And furthermore, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So why do people think he's going to come and set up an earthly kingdom? Nevertheless, this is good news. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. In other words, it's unannounced, because thieves don't send you a message on Facebook or give you a phone call and let you know they're going to be robbing you that night. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Again, we see confirmation here. This earth has an expiration date. It's not going to last forever. Verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? All of the building blocks that God used to create this planet and everything in it are going to be dissolved. All of the elements.
Yes.
They will melt with fervent heat.
Yes.
Now, people might read that and think, I don't like that. That sounds so bleak. But there's good news in this chapter too. Verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, that's what we're waiting for. And we know that God is going to do it. It's not always pleasant to see this world waxing worse and worse, with deceivers being deceived and deceiving one another. We know that the Apostle Paul said that would happen. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there's a lot of deception in this world because there's a lot of sin in this world. But this is a promise that we can embrace, that we can lay hold on today. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, I don't know everything about what heaven is going to be like. We tend to picture it in our minds. We know it's going to be amazing, but it's going to be far better than anything that we could possibly ever imagine. Remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14? How does that book start? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He has mansions for his people. But people look at those verses sometimes and they might be perplexed. In my Father's house are many mansions. How can you have mansions in a house? It's because those mansions refer to the glorified body that you are going to receive. Praise God. A body impervious to coronavirus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There won't be any mask mandate in heaven, let me tell you. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Yes, the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. God is giving people a chance to repent, and there are others who will. You know, the scriptures tell us, they tell us, and I've mentioned this a number of times before, but it really is amazing the way God's word works together. It tells us that when one sinner repents, the angels in heaven rejoice. They are thrilled when a person repents. When they're baptized in his name, when they're filled with his spirit, the angels rejoice. And that must be quite something to hear. And thankfully, one day we'll be able to join them. Because the book of Revelation tells us that when we get to heaven, it's going to be one long, eternal Thanksgiving celebration. But the scriptures tell us that the angels rejoice when someone repents. And the book of Revelation also tells us that a time is coming when there will be silence in heaven for about a half an hour. You know what that means? If there's silence in heaven, no angels are rejoicing, which means no one is repenting, which means Jesus is coming back because the harvest is done. So yes, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. And people, they get frustrated sometimes. Oh, I want the Lord to come back. And that's a good thing. It's something we should all desire. The cry of our heart should be, even so, come Lord Jesus. But we can also rejoice in the fact that we are still here, because that means more people are going to repent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's wonderful news, isn't it? Verse 16, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Things can be difficult to understand sometimes. And sometimes even certain scriptures can be hard to understand. But if you ever have trouble understanding and comprehending the Word of God, you know who to turn to. You can turn to the Lord Jesus. You can ask for the Holy Ghost to guide and direct you, because the Holy Ghost is not only our comforter, but it is our teacher.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Verse 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Well, I guess that verse there kind of ruins the whole once saved, always saved doctrine, doesn't it? Verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And that is something that we can all do, no matter who is President of the United States. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, this world has an expiration date, but thank God he's making a new heavens. He's making a new earth. New heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. That is what you have to look forward to.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
I mean, sin is exhausting. Wouldn't you rather be in a place where there's no sin and never will be? Praise God. Oh, that will be wonderful. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. One thing we know that is absolutely certainly true is that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Now, I don't believe in a secret rapture. When Jesus prayed for his people in John chapter 17, he didn't ask that we be taken out of the world. There's not going to be a secret rapture. He comes at the last trump. And when he comes, that's it. The show is over. First Thessalonians chapter 4. And we're going to begin with verse 13 this morning. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. A lot of people are wandering around in this world, and they think they have no hope. And really, they do have no hope if they don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. If their hope was in Donald Trump to save this country, then their hopes are evidently dashed. And if people are putting their hope and their trust in Joe Biden, they are going to be very, very disappointed in that as well. Remember, Jesus is your Savior. There is no other. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Yes, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and those who have gone on before, those who are absent from the body and present with the Lord, those whose physical bodies are asleep right now but whose spirits are with God, are going to come back with him to observe and to watch from heaven while God gathers the remainder of his people who are alive and remain on this planet when he comes. They are a cloud of witnesses. What does it say in the book of Revelation? Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. What does that mean when it says he cometh with clouds? It's not talking about cumulus or stratus or whatever the case may be, these different cloud formations that exist. He's not talking about those. He's talking about a cloud of witnesses, those that he brings with him. Yes, he's coming with clouds, and all that have gone on are going to be there to observe. God gathering his people together. And I love the way the scriptures fit together, because you can read Hebrews chapter 11 about so many of these people who served the Lord and looked for his kingdom to come. They desired it greatly. In fact, we're going to be looking at that in just a minute, but when you get to the 12th chapter of Hebrews, what does it tell us? It tells us that those people in the 11th chapter were a cloud of witnesses. So when Jesus comes back with clouds, it means those who have gone on before us. Praise God. You know, you can really start to understand the Word of God better if you read the entire book. You need to read the whole thing to get the whole picture. Praise God. And I believe God did that on purpose, so that we would read the whole thing. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh yes, that's going to happen. And we will be with the Lord for all eternity after that happens. That's why verse 18 tells us, wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Yes, thank you,
Lord. Oh, that should be a comfort.
Yes, indeed.
Hallelujah. Yes, this world has an expiration date. But thank God this world is not your final destination. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 right now. We don't have time to do this entire chapter, so we're only going to do a portion of it today. Hebrews chapter 11. And we're going to start with verse 8. Hebrews 11 verse 8 tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. Now that's what you call walking by faith. God told him, get up, leave this land that you were born in, leave this land that you have always known, and just start moving, and when you get to where you're going, I'll let you know. Most people wouldn't be willing to do something like that, but Abraham was. And God loved him for that very reason. He loved that Abraham always obeyed him. He didn't even know where he was going, but he still left. Praise God. He didn't get out Google Maps to try to plot his course. It's really amazing the things you can do now. You know, you can get on your computer and map out your route to wherever it is you're going. And if you happen to have a smartphone, I don't, but my wife has one. And when we were traveling, I pulled that thing out and pulled up Google Maps on it. And it actually shows a dot right exactly where you are on the map, and it moves. So you can follow that and see exactly where you are at any given time and how far away you might be from whatever destination you're going to. They can do that, and you know, I suppose that's helpful. It makes it a little easier, and you can estimate how long it's going to take to get to where you're going, when you'll get there, and so forth. But Abraham didn't have any of that. He didn't even know where he was going. He didn't know his final destination. He just got up, and he left. Praise the Lord. Of course, nowadays, I think a lot of people wouldn't want to travel if they didn't have their smartphones. I actually have a GPS in my car, which I use because, you know, it's helpful. But I know the youngsters, they don't like doing that anymore. They don't want to have an actual GPS unit on their dashboard in their car, and they kind of make fun of people who have one. Instead, they pull out their smartphones while they're driving, and they're hunched over looking at them while they're driving. I would rather just have the dedicated GPS on my dashboard. I think that's safer, honestly. Praise the Lord. So it tells us, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for a very special place, not a city built by man, but a city built by God.
Yes.
And you know what? We are still on a journey. We are still traveling towards the promised land. We are on that straight and narrow road, and our final destination is a city whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Oh yes, when God promises something, it's true. It's going to happen. It is literally impossible for God to break a promise. Did you know that? Praise the Lord. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Oh yes, that was a wonderful miracle that God performed. Sarah conceived, and she brought forth Isaac in her old age, something that the whole world would have said is impossible. But just remember, there's nothing impossible with God. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims. It's okay if you don't fit in this world. And, you know, as the majority grows more wicked, you're going to fit in less and less, but that's okay. Surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with people who love the Lord if you can. Hallelujah. Verse 14, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Abraham could have gone back to that land that he came out of, but he had no desire to do that because he was walking with the Lord each and every day. And there's nothing better than walking with the Lord. There's nothing better than that confidence that he is going to get you to your destination, even if you don't know where that destination is. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Oh yes, he has prepared a city. Where is that city? It's not on this planet. It's a special place that God has prepared for his people. You can read about it in the book of Revelation. In fact, I'm going to turn there right now. I know we go here quite frequently and to this chapter quite frequently, Revelation 21. But I want to do this because this chapter tells us about that city we were just reading about in Hebrews, Revelation 21. Praise the Lord. Revelation 21, and it's the second to last chapter in the Bible, so it shouldn't be too difficult to find. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Well, we were just reading about that, right? And John actually got a preview of it when God gave him these visions in the book of Revelation. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Of course, we know that right now there is a gulf. There is a sea between here and eternity. A sea between here and the realm of heaven. But one day is coming when there will be no more sea. And if you have loved ones who have gone on before, you will be reunited with them. Praise God. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.
Hallelujah.
You see, that's what God was talking about in Isaiah chapter 51.
Yes, praise the Lord.
When this happens, that prophecy will be completely fulfilled. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I think those are all things that we will be happy to get rid of. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst at the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And that applies to women too. We know that the Bible is written in the masculine gender, but he has sons and daughters. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Thank God that doesn't have to be you. And you know, we do see the signs around us that we are getting closer and closer to the coming day of God. For some people, that's a scary thing, but it doesn't have to be scary for you. In fact, if you are alive and remain when the Lord Jesus comes back with that cloud of witnesses, that is going to be the very happiest day of your life, and it is going to be a day that never ends.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Bless you, Jesus.
So, people might feel discouraged right now. They might feel like our country is doomed. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is ultimately this entire planet is, in fact, doomed. And that's unpleasant to think about. But we know there's a better one. A new one. A new one where there is no sin. You see, sin dooms. Sin will doom. But when you're set free from sin and when you live in a place where there's no sin, well, that lasts forever. So what should we do going forward? You don't have to be down in the dumps, and you don't have to be depressed over this election and everything else that's happening in this world. I know it's hard. I know that we've already gone through a lot in this country, in this state, that we have a governor who just seems so determined to shut everything down as much as he possibly can. And who knows what the future might hold? There could be more lockdowns. But no matter what happens, no matter what trials we face, we can do what the Apostle Paul advised us to do in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. No matter what happens, you still have that peace that passeth all understanding. And you know, I love that little epistle of Philippians. It only has four chapters, but did you know that you find that word rejoice in every single one of them? I guess you could think of it as an epistle of rejoicing. But yes, he tells us rejoice in the Lord always. And he didn't say just rejoice in the Lord if Donald Trump is president. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Praise the Lord. And when you do that, And when you put your faith, your hope, and your trust in God, that is when the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Yeah. So praise the Lord. We know this world won't last forever, but that's okay. God has a plan. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for all of His people. And so we look for the coming day of God. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before Thee, thank Thee for Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, that we can lay hold on Thy promises and that we can believe Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thy promises are yea and amen, for we know that it is impossible for Thee to lie. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would help us, O God, strengthen Thy people in days ahead. We know that we will face many challenges, but we pray, Lord, that Thy joy would still be upon Thy people, and that Thy peace, which passeth all understanding, would still be upon all Thy people. Help us, O God, to know that our hope is in Thee and in Thee only. Help us to rest in that hope, O God. For we know, O God, that our rest is in Thee as well. We look to Thee as the author and the finisher of our faith, knowing full well that we need Thee each and every step of the way. So guide Thy people. Walk with us day and night, we pray, for the entirety of our lives. For we know Thy promise, O God, and we know what Thou hast said. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. So preserve Thy people and help each and every one of us to endure to that wonderful day when we behold Thee face to face. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We are going to sing a song in closing. Number 187 in the chorus book, "This World Is Not My Home." Praise the Lord. 187 in the chorus book. And Mom, if you remember how to play it by heart, I know there's no music in the chorus book, that's fine. Otherwise, if you need the music, it is in the red book, number one. But otherwise, 187 in the chorus book, "This World Is Not My Home." I'm just a passenger. Treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I. Heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? Dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.